Hi, welcome to Off Script, a podcast about film and TV and actresses and actors and all the sorts of stuff. We can narrow it down, but we like too much stuff, so we're not.
I'm Emily Brooks and I'm a senior entertainment reporter at stuff.co.nz.
I'm Kylie Klein-Nixon. I'm a reporter for Stuff, a columnist for the Sunday Star Times.
And this week we're going to be talking about Oscar nominations.
And we're very excited.
Oscar nominations are out Monday, so we're now going to draw on things like the Golden Globes and the BAFTA nominations, our own film watching experience over the last 12 months, and predict who we think you will see nominated for the really big gongs on Monday, and then we can come back next week and talk about how wrong we were. The Golden Globes threw a few curveballs into the Oscar mix, the most interesting one being 1917's drama win. Of course, the Golden Globes breaks down its movies into drama and musical or comedy, but we really thought that that was going to be a race between pretty much The Irishman, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and maybe Marriage Story, and then 1917 just kind of swooped in and picked that up.
You haven't seen it yet, but I'm really perplexed by that win because it's definitely just a win for the technical fancy-pantsness of it all with this one shot. The story itself is pretty much bland, kind of almost try. I mean, there's no subtext to it, not like there was with Dunkirk. We were talking about that earlier today. It's a bit hard to talk about without you haven't seen it.
Something that I find interesting there is that Jojo Rabbit, which is obviously as good patriotic Kiwis, a movie that we're going to be backing all the way to Oscars glory, what was nominated for two Golden Globes, didn't win either of them. And it does seem like maybe 1917 is more of your kind of traditional classic war narrative. Jojo Rabbit obviously isn't. It's quite satirical and
super political. I mean, 1917, one thing about that film is that while the obvious subtext is war is hell and it's crappy that we keep doing this to each other, there's no underlying kind of message there. It's just
right,
yeah,
and whereas,
it does what it says on the tin, if you like.
Yeah, so maybe we're going to see that carry through to the Oscars, where there's going to be a preference for that more traditional war narrative over something that is more subversive and maybe a little bit less immediately kind of user-friendly.
Yeah, less accessible. Right? Do you think people about Jojo Rabbit are still kind of a little bit iffy about whether they're even allowed to laugh at some of the stuff?
Definitely that going on in Jojo. It's carried right through from the very earliest critique. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that performs against something like 1917.
Yeah, that's just flashier.
The other big surprise, one that made both you and I very happy, Kylie, at the Golden Globes, was Taron Egerton coming in and picking up that Best Actor gong.
For musical comedy, that was unexpected, but we hoped it was going to happen because that performance was so far exceeded. I mean, it was just so much better than, do we say it? So much better than Rami Malek's kind of crummy performance in Bohemian Rhapsody. They're going to be compared, obviously, and he won the Oscar. It's so superior to that performance.
Yeah. The question now for the Oscars is it superior to Joaquin Phoenix and Joker?
Yeah, but I mean, we'll get to that in a second. Or we're going to leap right into that.
No.
Because that whole field is just like
crazy
chaos.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be impossible not to compare Taron Egerton and Rami Malek. I mean, there's the obvious things like Taron Egerton does his own singing, which I sort of hope that's setting a benchmark now.
It automatically makes it a better performance.
Yeah.
And also that it wasn't like a slavish imitation, and it wasn't like his performance didn't depend, I mean, apart from the glasses and the costumes, maybe it didn't depend on major prosthetics or
No.
And also, I mean, bottom line, the film is superior because of the messaging about homosexuality, and it was so much more positive. And it's
a better film. Just from end to end, I think it's a better movie.
Yeah. I actually felt a bit stink for poor old Rami Malek at the Golden Globes.
Why? He's got his gongs.
I know, yeah, but he must look at that performance and go, oh, I could have leaned into that a bit more. I could have kicked up a bit of a fuss.
Meh. He's still got a Best Actor Oscar out of it. I feel like Rami Malek's doing fine. You don't need to worry about that guy.
Maybe. But I mean, I just like, maybe there's a bit of transference going on there, because I would have been like, well, I'm never acting in anything ever again because Taron and Gitan.
Well, let's hope that Rami Malek did not think that, because Bohemian Rhapsody may have its faults, but he's
pretty great.
He is a great actor.
Right.
BAFTAs. The BAFTA nominations came out today.
Okay, so do you know, this is the weirdest thing, is this normal? I don't know, because I didn't think to check it, actually, but the director and supporting actor noms for the Golden Globes and the BAFTAs were exactly the same.
Interesting.
The exact same things, which we'll get into in a little bit more detail in a second, but that's weird. I don't know if that usually happens. Usually there's more of a mix-up because there's more British films and the
BAFTAs.
Mm. So they kind of shake things up a little bit, which makes the Oscar nominations more interesting as well. Not this year.
What else is missing from the BAFTA nominations, Kylie?
You tell me, because I've forgotten.
I'll tell you what else is missing from the BAFTA nominations. People of colour and women.
Yeah. Greta Gerwig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So BAFTA's so white. Hashtag started trending pretty soon after they came out. Let's hope that the Oscars can, perform a bit better there.
Because the interesting thing about that is that when I was having a look around, apparently last year more women directed the top 100 films, grossing films, than ever before. But a lot of those films were not the kind of films that you'd ever see in the awards season coming up, except for Greta Gerwig and for Kazi Lemon's Harriet, which I haven't seen yet.
It's
not out here yet. So.
Yeah, we haven't had an opportunity to see a few of these films included.
There were nominations for Harriet in actor nominations for Harriet at the Golden Globes, so
yeah,
it's weird to see that hasn't popped up at the BAFTAs.
So we're going to talk about the sort of key interest categories, I guess, the acting categories, screenplay, director, and picture, with all due respect to all of the amazing cinematographers and production designers and costume designers and editors.
There's only so many hours in the day, and
we can only bore you for so long. Yeah,
thrill you.
All right, so let's kick off with Best Supporting Actress. This looks like a lock. Laura Dern has long been predicted as the frontrunner for this category role in Marriage Story.
So Marriage Story could really clean up here, because they are all over the place, except, which we'll get to a bit later, in a couple of the major categories. But in terms of actors, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it would be weird if she didn't win.
She won the Golden Globe. She's up for the BAFTA. She's hotly tipped to win the Oscar. An interesting question is, could she get nominated twice in that category? Could she also go up for Little Women?
It's not really that flashy a role, though, in Little Women, is it? I mean, she's got a nice crying scene, but there's no dialogue with it. Those are the criteria, aren't they?
That's true. She doesn't have like a good monologue, which you often need for a supporting
one. Ugly cry and you got a monologue, and she's only got the ugly cry. No, it's actually quite a beautiful cry, actually. So
yeah, it is.
She's like fails on all.
I don't think Laura Dern can really do anything ugly.
No, she's too perfect.
But that's good, because she'll leave space if she's not nominated.
She's definitely going to get nominated. Though.
If she's not nominated for Little Women, sorry. But if that isn't Little Women's nomination, then I will kill everyone if Florence Pugh is not nominated in this category, because she is superb in Little Women.
Yeah.
And as I banged on about for 900 words in op-ed over the weekend, actually made me feel okay about Amy and Laurie marrying each other.
Which is like, has haunted you your entire life.
It really has. I mean, that is huge.
I've never liked it either, but yeah. They were cute. They were so cute.
That was so cute.
I believed in them.
I believed.
So, After we were talking the other day about this category, and we talked about Margot Robbie, and I actually think, I don't know, I haven't seen Bombshell, so I don't know what she's like in it, but I'd actually really like it if she got a nomination for Once Upon a Time, even though she's got like two lines, which is another topic we should talk about at some point, the Year of Silent Women. But I think it would be kind of cool because even though she had so few lines, I really loved her in that film. I loved everything about her story in the film.
Yeah, I mean, I agree she does bring a lot to that film despite not really having a lot on the page, which is...
And that scene in the cinema when she's watching herself, I honestly had tears in my eyes. It was really moving. I think Tarantino set out to bring Sharon Tate back to life and make her more than like a chalk outline and horrible, violent picture. And I think that's what she did in that scene. And I think it was beautiful and I love it.
Well, she's been nominated twice in this category at the BAFTAs. Right. She's been nominated for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and for Bombshell. Could happen at the Oscars too. But I think we can pretty safely say that that Laura Dern will be nominated here for Marriage Story. She'll be nominated for at least one thing. Scarlett Johansson will probably be nominated for Jojo Rabbit here. So that leaves you two more spots, and there's a lot that's possible here, particularly considering the BAFTAs and the Golden Globes diverge a little bit here. So this is where you might see Jennifer Lopez come in for Hustlers. It's where you might see someone like Kathy Bates sneak in for Richard Jewell.
She's Oscars been love
getting
her.
A lot of buzz. The Oscars do love her.
They
That could happen. Bombshell might have another nod there for Nicole Kidman. There's a few things that could happen in that category. But I really want to see Florence Pugh
here. Yeah. That would be cool.
Oh, she's incredible.
She's awesome.
She more than deserves it. All right.
We love you, Florence.
We do love you, Florence.
Okay.
Supporting actor?
Supporting actors. So, BAFTAs have nominated the same kind of quite small pack as we're at the GGs. So that's Tom Hanks for A Beautiful Day in the Neighbourhood, Anthony Hopkins for The Two Popes, Al Pacino for The Irishman, Joe Pesci for The Irishman, and Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Brad won the Golden Globes. But I think the Oscars are going to go for Joe Pesci because...
It's hard to see how they wouldn't give this to The Irishman.
Yeah, I mean, this is... Yeah.
These
it
are
could
lying.
Be The Irishman's year. It could be The Irishman.
It could be.
Just be like it this could be. Boring sausage fest of an Oscars.
Old white men
pat each other on the backs and say something incendiary about Trump. That actually would be a good reason to...
For Scorsese to win.
Or Scorsese or Robert De Niro win and say something nasty about
That's true, that's fun. True. But I think whether or not The Irishman cleans up, this is one of the categories in which it has the strongest chance with both Al Pacino and Joe Pesci being nominated. I mean, you know, let's face it, is either of them going to have another crack?
Well, Joe Pesci's certainly not because he came out of retirement to do that film.
Indeed.
Does he
have an Oscar? Al Pacino does.
Let me ask the... experts. What I would like to know is who you think is missing from that list, because I, as much as I think he was great, I'm not 100% sure that Timothée Chalamet deserves a nod for
Little Women,
because he's not, Laurie's not ornamental necessarily, but
I think
that's not a film about
I think Timothée Chalamet is a great Laurie, but I don't think that performance is one. I mean, he does have quite a good emoting scene, having said that. Like, the proposal scene.
The proposal scene.
There is a lot of emoting.
Can we not talk about it? Because he's so awful.
I know.
But so beautiful. I love it so much.
I know.
And I'm embarrassed to remind you of this, but Joe Pesci won the Oscar for Goodfellas.
Best of course he did.
We are so, so cool. very cool.
Yeah, I think Timothée Chalamet probably will not get... I mean, he has zero buzz. He's not going to get nominated.
I really like to see Alan Alda, just because it's such a sweet role in that film, in Marriage Story. I mean, you'll come to realise during the course of this podcast that Marriage Story is pretty much my film of the year, and I would like it to win all everything and be nominated for all everything. But I do think Alan Alda was pretty great.
I agree. That is a really good performance. And it's wouldn't just, it be awesome to see Marriage Story pick up a nomination in every acting category? Yeah, that would I'd be super
that.
Cool.
I would love that.
I wonder about Sam Rockwell in Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
I think one thing that will count against Sam Rockwell in Jojo Rabbit is that he won an Oscar for not at all a similar role, but for doing something thematically similar in Three Billboards.
Three Billboards, of course.
So that, quite recently, you know, so that might count against him. But I do think that that's a great character role. It's a strong supporting performance. That character has an excellent arc. It's, the, you know, it's the kind of thing that the Academy might like.
Is Sam Rockwell in danger of being typecast as the sympathetic racist?
Yes, he absolutely is.
It's really an unfortunate place to position yourself in the cinema. Well, maybe not. Who knows what's going to happen.
But, I mean, I think I'm not sure exactly who I want to win this category, but I don't think I want anyone from The Irishman to win, but I think one of them will.
Like, I personally don't want them to, but they kind of should. It's like, I don't know. I do know. They shouldn't. No, I'm making a stand. No to The Irishman. You've also got Jamie Bell on the list for Bernie Taupin and...
That's just my fantasy pick.
Fantasy pick.
God,
Jamie Bell is so good. He even makes that hairdo look cool.
He really does. I do think he's lovely in that performance, and he sings too, which, you know,
yeah.
That's, I think the Academy does like people who do a
who kind of push out the L, because he's not a natural singer. I don't think so either. Not a natural.
I think that's a lovely performance, but probably doesn't have enough guts or enough flesh to get a nomination.
Did we miss anybody in this list? Please let us know if you think we've missed anybody in this list. There will be performances out there that we've either forgotten because they were so long, we saw them so long ago, or
dismissed because we have terrible taste.
We have great taste.
Feel free to tell us that we're wrong about Timothée Chalamet, by the way. That would make me really happy.
Right.
Best Actress.
This is such a strong field this year.
Lock. It's a strong field, but there is no way Renee Zellweger is not winning this Oscar. Oh, yeah. I would stake my entire kingdom on that. So, you know, if anyone's after like half a dozen broken paper clips, then...
yeah, for sure. I mean, we do the list. Oscar loves biopics, old Hollywood, and
people with really comebacks. Solid,
yeah, comebacks, exactly. People who can lose weight.
Sing.
For film, they love that.
Yeah.
She's got it all going on. That's a joke about the losing weight, by the way.
It does like a physical transformation.
Yeah, it's true.
You know.
And she also really looks the part, man. That is kind of uncanny. It's
amazing.
Pretty good. Is she singing in that role as well?
Yes.
Because that's hard. Tough.
Yeah, and she kind of does what Taron Egerton did in Rocketman 2, where she doesn't really try to mimic Judy Garland's
it's
voice.
It's not an impersonation.
It's not an impersonation. Which kind of works better, you know.
Yeah, it does. It's just always so much better. Every time there's any biopic where that's the case, it's always better.
I think so too.
If you're performing the spirit of the figure rather than the mannerisms of the
Absolutely, I agree with you. So she'll win, that's a given, but she will beat out some really strong competition.
Yeah.
So Scarlett Johansson almost certainly will be here for Marriage Story.
Oh my God, she ruined me in that film. So.
She is great, and I would definitely not be unhappy if she shocked everyone by beating out Renee Zellweger for this one.
Because she's done some lightweight stuff in the last 20 years, and I'm a huge Avengers fan, but, you know, that is lightweight compared to the stuff. And this is her raging back into...
serious acting. Yeah. It's an outstanding performance.
So cool.
An outstanding performance. Saoirse Ronan will probably be here for Little Women.
Really? I mean, because Little Women's gotten... Oh, yeah.
No, she'll... I think this is where we'll almost certainly see it. I mean, she's been nominated everywhere for this role. And it's the kind of thing that the Academy likes. You know, it does like a good book-to-film adaptation. It's a very famous character that's been portrayed by a lot of different people. The Academy likes that kind of thing. She's very, very, very good in Little Women.
Yeah. She's
I don't
good
think
in
she'll
everything.
Win.
And like we were saying before, possibly greatest actress of her generation.
Yeah, that's a different podcast.
Prove us wrong.
Charlize Theron is very likely to be here for Bombshell.
Oscar loves her, don't they?
It really does. It really does. So that's four. Renee, Scarlett, Saoirse, Charlize. Then you've got your kind of fifth place wild card, where various academies and guilds have gone in different directions. So Cynthia Erivo, we said before, was nominated for Harriet at the Golden Globes. You might see Lupita Nyong'o come in here for Us. I think there's a little bit of precedent setting.
It'd be amazing. If
that would be great.
For that film.
That's another really awesome performance. And, I mean, she kind of... I don't want to spoil this film at all for anyone who hasn't seen it. If you haven't seen it, go see it. But the way that she sort of turns the entire movie around like 5 minutes is really brilliant. She's outstanding. Already an Oscar winner, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's got some cred already with the Academy there. Awkwafina!
We love her.
She won the bloody Golden Globe.
That'd be really cool. I haven't seen Farewell, unfortunately.
And it also hasn't been released yet.
Right.
But she... we might cut that out because I might be wrong. It might have been at the film festival. She's got a really weirdly compelling screen presence, I find, Awkwafina.
So, like, I swear. She doesn't care about anything. I did swear. Sorry. We'll beep it out. We're nothing without our beeps.
We did wonder if Meryl Streep might get nominated just for turning up and being in the Steven Soderbergh movie Laundromat. Like, is it possible for Meryl Streep to be in a movie and not be nominated?
Did anybody actually watch Laundromat?
I haven't seen it.
Steven Soderbergh is such a moraliser. I find him tedious.
Have I ever given you my big rant?
You ruined Magic Mike. You made a movie about male strippers that was dull. How is that possible?
Have I ever given you my big rant about how... Is it called Contagion? What's this movie called about the virus thing that kills everybody Kate Winslet?
Contagion.
Contagion. Contagion is all about how one woman having sex brings downfall of humanity.
That is what he does every single time. That's what he turned Magic Mike into as well. It's like...
I did quite like
the villain in that film is someone who has sex.
Yeah. He does have, he's got an issue with that.
He's got a problem.
It's always possible that Meryl Streep will be there just for turning up. Thomas and Mackenzie, I mean, this is where Searchlight's putting her. They're framing her in a lead actress role.
I think her performance was so strong and I loved her, but she didn't have quite enough to do, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know, but compared to the other performances in that list, and her performance is incredibly strong, it always is, she's
a brilliant actress.
Yeah, she's a cracker.
But I think Scarlett Johansson and Renee Zellweger are your real big front runners.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to get past Renee Zellweger.
Yeah. Actor.
How awesome is it going to be if we're totally wrong about that? It's just like Thomasin McKenzie and... New Zealand just has a day off.
That's something I would love to be wrong about.
I'd desperately love to be wrong about that. So the actors list.
Another interesting field.
It's an interesting field, but it's also, I mean, the outliers are interesting. Anyway, so in a mix-up of the BAFTAs and the Golden Globes, we've got Leo for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver, who should win for Marriage Story, Taron Egerton for Rocketman, Joaquin Phoenix for Joker, Jonathan Pryce for The Two Popes. I haven't seen The Two Popes, and I'm not sure I could bring myself to sit through a film about two old Catholic dudes talking, but...
Hey, I've seen The Irishman, that's enough.
Christian Bale for Ford and Ferrari. No, I'm just saying no.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on no.
We all know that Christian Bale is an absolute champion, but...
One of the great actors of his generation.
But no. He can't win. He can't win over Adam Driver, who literally put everything he has on the line in that film.
So Kylie and I have talked quite a lot about this and how it looks like this race is shaping up to be a competition between Adam Driver for Marriage Story and Joaquin Phoenix for Joker, and how that's...
Come with us on this journey now into why Adam Driver is a better actor than Joaquin Phoenix.
So Joaquin Phoenix's role in Joker is one of the most scene-chewingly, consciously actory performances I've ever seen.
Don't get me wrong, I enjoyed the film. I know you...
I did enjoy the film.
I enjoyed the film.
With some pretty distinct reservations. Yeah. I largely enjoyed that performance too, but there were also moments where I was sitting there going, come on,
like, mate. Just
are you really...
What the hell? Yeah.
That is a very, like, out performance, you know. Yeah. There's nothing subtle about what Joaquin Phoenix is doing there. Adam Driver is all subtlety and nuance and restraint and internalized
and just,
feelings and emotions.
And he has to be that way. He's that way in a lot of his roles, but for that role, it works so beautifully for that absolute pivotal scene that I'm probably not going to mention here because we don't want to spoil
it. That is a bit spoilery, yeah.
But not that you can... It's a sensitive character drama, and I can't believe we have to worry about spoilers for sensitive character dramas, but 2020, baby, that's how it is. Let's compare him to Leo's performance in Once Upon a Time, because Leonardo was my favourite thing about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
That whole story arc of him... Because I could have watched 12 hours of him freaking out in a caravan about his failings as a human being and an actor. It was magnificent, and he looked like he was having the time of his life. It was brilliant. Oscar does love that kind of old Hollywood vibe.
Yeah,
as well.
Again, that's a reason to predict that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood will do reasonably well, because it has the word Hollywood on the freaking title. and the Academy does love movies about
but
itself.
Do they don't really love Leo, and they don't particularly seem to like Quentin Tarantino either.
That's right. Yeah.
So who knows?
They've both got an Oscar already. Maybe they've had their time.
They've had their fill. I just can't see. It's so over the top, and I can't see the Academy going for Joaquin Phoenix. Which is when you said there could be room there for
to shuffle up the middle. Again, it's probably fantasy, but
I think so.
It could happen.
They definitely take notice of things like, oh, last year we gave it to a...
Yeah, that's true.
To a musical
biopic.
And last year they did literally give it to a...
Yeah, someone
biopic
playing
about
a
gay rock star from the 70s and 80s.
They're close. They're similar.
Yeah.
No, I don't think Taron Egerton will win this. I really hope he gets nominated.
So the outliers in this group, as far as I am concerned, would be Antonio Banderas for Pain and Glory, which is a film I haven't seen, but I've watched a lot of clips, and also I've bored over the design on that film because Pedro Almodovar's house is amazing, and a lot of that stuff actually is his own personal stuff.
Oh, really?
God,
I love Almodovar.
So love. And, you know, that's a story about a beloved filmmaker kind of wrapping up, assessing his life today, his work as a filmmaker. I mean, it could be the kind of thing, I don't know, they could, I don't know.
Yeah, you never know. Antonio Banderas also doesn't have an Oscar, and is probably someone that I can see members of the Academy kind of going, he does a lot of, like, arty films, like, maybe
this
he should
could
have
make
an Oscar.
Us look good. And then Roman Griffith Davis for Jojo Rabbit, because they do love nominating kids.
They do. And, you know, he's great in Jojo. He gives a fantastic performance.
Sensational.
I don't think it would be at all a bad thing if he got nominated, and I can definitely see it happening.
It'd be real cute to see him there.
Oh, my God, he's adorable.
Eddie Murphy. No, see, the last two outliers are Eddie Murphy and Daniel Craig, and they're both in comedies, and I don't think they're getting anywhere near this category.
If either of them gets nominated, it'll definitely be Eddie Murphy. Like, he's more likely to get a nod here than Daniel Craig, I reckon, partly for the role, which is, again, a biopic. It's political. It's, let's be frank, full of black people, and the Academy would pat itself on the back for that. And he's Eddie Murphy, you know? I mean,
There's a comeback vibe to him as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think that's way more likely than Daniel Craig.
Yeah, for sure. Daniel Craig. I enjoyed that performance, though. Like, a lot of people...
I enjoyed that performance, too, but, you know, it's very hammy. Like, it's very...
Very hammy.
Yeah.
I still think it might be the best thing he's done for ages, but except for that bit when he plays the Stormtrooper in Star Wars.
Just that one bit.
That one tiny bit. I loved it. So those are the actors. If you think we've missed anything out, again, let us know. We want to hear from you.
Screenplay. Two categories here. original and adapted. I think adapted is probably looking a little bit more interesting. This is a category where we can pretty much expect to see a Jojo Rabbit nomination as well. Adapted screenplay. It's been getting a lot of buzz for its screenplay, and it is a great script. I mean, it's a very Taika Waititi kind of screenplay, you know. Yeah. The humour is all him, like his stamp is all over it. Mm-hmm. But it's also, you know, it's you also got a lot of I nuance. I haven't read the book, no. But I mean, that's not how these. I don't think the expectation is that the book and you compare. Or you've read the source material and you compare.
No.
It's just a screenplay that you thought was good. Yeah, exactly. So I think Jojo Rabbit's got a pretty strong chance here. Little Women will probably also see here. Mm. I mean, we really, really should. That, you know, I think...
Yeah, because she's pushed the limits of that, the confines of that period piece and turned it into something else, and that's all with the dialogue.
Yeah.
And yet it still feels true to the source material. It's a really clever script.
It's a very clever script,
right, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. The Irishman would be here.
And then we would all go into a coma. Never.
I think it'll probably get nominated, but if this wins in this category, I will genuinely believe that.
Never stop yawning.
The Farewell we might see here as well, mm-hmm. based on a podcast, which is, you know, kind of nifty.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. The Academy might like that. I think
podcasts.
Anyone wants to make a movie out of this podcast, contact us.
Feel free.
We've got an option fee in mind. And I think also that this might be a movie that where Oscar feels like it should do something with it, because it's kind of got the right themes, you know. It's like a family drama. I mean, it's all about this family, well, not really a drama, but like it's all about this family coming together, you know, when they've been dispersed around the globe. And, you know, it's got all of that like feel good quality. It's an Asian cast, Asian film, which again they'll be very pleased with themselves for having recognized. So this is a category where you might see that get a nod to.
I feel like the Two Popes is definitely going to be nominated here.
Another
new... it's going to give a worthy for their, you know, for their worthy ticking the worthy box.
This is another New Zealand one. We should know Anthony McCartan, right, here at the screenplay, yeah, is Kiwi.
But I, again, haven't seen the film yet because, sorry, I just fell asleep even thinking about it. I'll wake right back up again and move on.
Original screenplay. We know what we want to win here.
Yeah, absolutely.
We want
it. But it's such a strong, again, like the best actor field is so strong. The screenplay field is like...
Yeah, it is.
Just on fire.
I actually said we know, and then I realised that we might not agree.
Oh, yeah. No, we probably don't. Oh, I don't know.
Knives Out for me.
Oh, yeah, no, we don't agree. It's a Marriage Story. Up and down,
I'd
left and right.
I'd love to see Knives Out win this. It is such a clever screenplay.
Yeah,
it is. Such a clever story.
Super, super clever.
So good. I think that's where...
And also, Rian Johnson deserves medals just on the...
Just for
daily.
Existing.
Yeah, just yeah. daily... medals, because The Last Jedi was great. So there. Anyway, moving right
don't
along.
Contact us to tell us what you think about that. It would be kind of cool to see Parasite sneak in here.
I think it should. I'm not sure, but that would be great.
Yeah, Parasite, we haven't talked about it yet, but this is a Korean film that has been getting a huge amount of mainstream buzz. It was a runner-up for the People's Choice Awards at the Toronto Film Festival, and is just being hailed as an all-round great film, not just foreign language. So, yeah, that would be cool.
And also, Bong Joon-ho won the Best Director for a Foreign Film at the Golden Globes.
He did.
Quality all-round.
All right, we're getting to the big guns now.
Yeah.
Best Director.
Best Director. Okay, so, again, likely to be a sausage fest because everything has been so far.
Greta.
So we've got Martin Scorsese. I think these are the names that are going to turn up for sure. Be Scorsese, Tarantino, Mendes and Phillips. I would like to also see in there Bong Joon-ho, but I don't know if that's going to... I don't know, but I would like that to happen. And Greta Gerwig, who has been shut out completely from... wasn't at the BAFTAs, not at the Golden Globes.
And has made a fantastic film.
Literally one of the best films I've seen this year.
Yeah, same. Easily.
Last year. Anyway, in a year's time.
One of the best 2019 films.
Yeah. Also, I would have liked to see Noah Baumbach and Rian Johnson getting onto here, but those are both unlikely.
You think Noah Baumbach is unlikely?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't think I agree with you.
Oh, I really hope I'm wrong. Happy to be wrong.
I think, Tarantino, definitely. Todd Phillips does not deserve
a nomination
for Best Director.
Absolutely not.
That film was really lacking in direction in lots of ways.
I think we'll get a lot of pushback about that. And I think the thing that people think is directing is actually cinematography. And that film deserves... best cinematography, maybe
production design,
absolutely, but just because it looked real pretty doesn't mean it should get Best Director.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that film deserves a Best Director nod, and because of that I'm going to take it off my list.
Again, that's the other thing. I think Mendes is going to get a nod for the cinematography and that one shot.
Yeah.
And it's like, because that film is very traditional and very conservative.
Yeah.
And I don't just mean like, he doesn't really take any risks except for that like incredible technical element.
I think he probably will too. I think your three locks for nominations are going to be Scorsese, Tarantino and Mendes.
Yeah.
And then
I'm surprised that Kazi Lemons isn't there for Harriet, might not be there for Harriet, but I'd be surprised if she's not.
You'd be surprised if she's not.
Yeah.
We've got way more than five now. I think Greta Gerwig really should be there, and I'll be quite outraged.
I think
they're
probably
not.
At this moment scrambling and worrying about, they don't want another Oscar so white or Oscar so anything other than Oscar so great. That's what they want.
Oscars so diverse.
Oscars so...
Well, maybe they'll put both of them in. Maybe we're going to see Kazi and Greta in there, and they can get rid of...
Be sensational.
Yeah. Have we arrived at Best Picture?
We might have arrived there. Yes, we have. We're at Best Picture.
Okay, so we've mentioned already probably a lot of the films that have come in here. The interesting thing about Best Picture is that there are now 10 spots here. They don't have to nominate 10 films.
I was going to say, yeah, because they only had 9 the other year.
They can nominate between 5 and 10. So they could only nominate 5, but they can nominate up to 10. So... Definites here. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
The Irishman.
To be sure.
1917.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage Story. I think that's a lock. But that leaves a lot of space,
yeah.
That's a lot. So, again, I have actually written on my notes, Little Women has to be here or Emily will kill everyone.
She will too.
With all of that space, it would be insane for it to be shut out like it has been at the Golden Globes and the BAFTAs. Jojo Rabbit.
I just don't see Jojo Rabbit turning up in that.
It won the best gauge out there for a Best Picture nomination, which is the People's Choice Award at TIFF. Like, it's incredibly rare for a film to win that award and not get a Best Picture nomination. Parasite.
Yeah, I'd like to see that there.
Yeah. Dolomite.
No, I don't. I can't imagine.
It feels like it's lost its steam.
It's lost a bit of steam, and also I feel like it's a little too small scale. But then I don't know why I'm saying that. Maybe just because it's Netflix.
A lot of people are going to tell me that they think Joker's a lock.
There's no way Joker... I want to say there's no way Joker's going to get it because of the muddled, dirty politics of the film. And for better or worse, Hollywood is still crawling with liberals. And I think it would be weird for a film that says the sort of nonsense Joker says to make it into the...
Best Picture. Lineup.
Yeah. I mean, yes, director, yes, actors, yes, cinematography, maybe even yes, score. I don't know, but Best Picture, nah. Also, if it was best in the Best Picture category and it won, it would be the first time a superhero movie's won a Best Picture. And
do they really want to give it to that?
Will burn Hollywood to the ground and salt the earth if that's the superhero movie that wins.
What about Endgame?
I was wondering, because we said the other day, and I thought this might be the case, that there might be a bit of a Lord of the Rings factor. They might get a nomination for the culmination of 10 years' work, for the fact that literally everybody everybody that's cool in Hollywood was in that film. And if there's one thing the Oscars have been desperately wanting, it's to have more cool people on the red carpet so that everybody tunes in to watch. And Knives Out gave them a few cool people this time around. But we'll give them a few cool people this time around. But yeah, I can imagine it getting in there. Right?
I can imagine it getting in there too.
And it would be the coolest. I don't think it would pull off the win like Return of the King did, but it would be really cool if they at least got acknowledgement for what was, whatever you think of the film, was an astounding achievement. And also like probably my second favourite film of the year.
What was your first?
Marriage Story.
Oh, of course. It's ridiculous. I can't believe I realised that.
Marriage Story, which I'm going to watch again tonight probably.
So there's a lot of scope here, and I reckon Jojo Rabbit will be there.
I hope you're right. That'd be cool.
I'd
like to watch Taika Waititi fall asleep.
Again.
In front of a camera again, yeah.
I desperately hope that Little Women will be there. It would be really awesome if Endgame was there, and I think it could well be none of them have a hope of winning Best Picture.
No, I have no expectation.
Best Picture is probably a two-horse race between The Irishman and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think? How strong are Marriage Story's chances there?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes, don't forget that a lot of the filmmakers who are voting in the Academy come up from the 70s and 80s. A lot of the old school guys, they like that kind of small melodrama. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's got that whole Kramer versus Kramer thing.
Yeah. And
I don't know.
Something that the last few years of Oscar Best Picture winners show you actually is that small movies are getting a lot of love.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, say what you will about Green Book, and there's many things I will say about Green Book.
None of them good.
It is a it is a small film. It's, you know, it's essentially a two-hander. Moonlight.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's a tiny little movie. I mean, maybe that is actually where the tide is.
They do like that because they get to give themselves some like nice buzzy feelings of like supporting quote unquote indie film, even though it's not an indie film. But
yeah. Although the flip side of that is that then they're also not awarding the films that cinema goers actually went to see and care about.
Yeah, they never have anyway, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Hooray for Hollywood.
Join us on Tuesday when we find out how wrong we were in all of our predictions.
And yeah, please do contact us and let us know what you think. Share your thoughts with us. We might read them out in the next podcast, which will be about, who knows?
We don't know yet.
We haven't thought that far ahead.
If you have any suggestions for topics in pop culture or culture generally that you'd like to hear us cover, let us know.
Anything. Literally any topic in the pop culture sphere, we will have a crack at.
We definitely will.
Choice. See you guys next week.